Sabbath at the Beaumont Seventh Adventist Church. Today we have something special planned. Our church hasn't done it for a long time, but we have communion planned for all of you. And so a little later on, I'll give you some instructions how that's going to go. But before we do that, I want to share a very short message that would help us to ultimately prepare for communion. Before we do that, I would invite you to pray with me as we start going to our message. Father in heaven, whenever we open up your words, Father, unless your presence, unless your Holy Spirit is with us and teaching us, these are just mere words. But if the Holy Spirit opens up the truths of scriptures, if the Holy Spirit convicts us of scriptures, the scriptures comes alive into our lives and has the ability to change it because it is your word. But Lord, we do not want to study or worship or do anything without asking for your blessing. And the greatest blessing that we can possibly ask is that the Holy Spirit will be abiding with us today. We also pray that the Holy Spirit not only be abiding in us, but that may the Holy Spirit also work through us today. Father, may your name and your name only be magnified and glorified today. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. There are quite a few things in scriptures that when you don't know the end of the story, you would think, man, what an utter failure. Have you ever gone through something in your life where before you saw the end of that journey, you're like, man, how did I get here? Like, my life is not, I don't know how I got here. Like, my life seems that whatever I try to do seems to be a failure. I can think of many examples in the Bible. Moses, he started off so great, didn't he? Like, he was the prince of Egypt, probably next in line to be the next pharaoh. He had everything going for him, like money, power, influence, probably the best education that Egypt could provide. Anything that he wanted, he just was at his beck and call. He would snap his fingers and boom. And because of that, he thought that God would use his might, his wisdom, his influence to free his people. But we know the story that ended miserably in the sense that he had to run away because he took matters into his own hands. And at that point, we would consider his life a failure. In fact, he spent another 40 years as a shepherd. And for Egyptian, there's no other lowlier occupation than a shepherd. So in that sense, he would have been viewed as a total failure. But God did not see that as failure, but it was a training grounds to prepare him to be the leader that God needed him to be. God was preparing him 40 years in the wilderness to Midian, unlearning all the things that he had, the wrong things that he had learned in Egypt. And finally, God says, you're ready. He sends them. So oftentimes, when we look at just a portion of a story in scriptures, we think, man, what a failure. And we can name countless other people, Joseph and Daniel to some degree, David to some degree. Everyone went through some kind of failure in their life, which God used to propel them to the next stage of their lives. And the cross of Jesus, the crucifixion was the same thing. The crucifixion was meant not to glorify anyone or it was not a positive image at all, but it was designed to demean, humiliate, to make people suffer, and ultimately to kill them. Yet, Scripture says, in the words of Jesus, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. It seems like a huge contradiction. How can the cross, before I even say that, when the Bible says that that Jesus says, when I am lifted up, he's talking about him being lifted up on the cross in the manner in which he would die. So how in the world could this humiliation, this cross, this death, this so-called failure be a victory in the sense that to the point where people will be drawn to Jesus, will be drawn to God the Father because that he was lifted up on the cross? And even for the disciples, it would have made no sense to them. The cross was not designed to do that. Yet in John chapter 12, 20, verse 27, scripture says this. Now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came out of heaven. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. You see, it was at the cross in which God was greatly glorified. It was the monumental event that ultimately brought glory to God and would be really the pinnacle act of salvation. The cross was a turning point in Earth's history. From Adam to ultimately Jesus, for about 4,000 years, the patriarchs and prophets of old all looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. And when he did finally come, the salvation of humanity came to fruition in the most unusual way. Not as a king, not as a conqueror, not as a noble, but a lowly carpenter's son who actually died on the cross. Jesus points to the cross as a beacon that would draw all men to himself, that would glorify God. It was a defining moment of God's plan in salvation. Because the cross revealed the unmatched love of God. And it was at the cross that the victory was won on behalf of all humanity. Where Adam failed, Jesus was victorious. And where all people before Jesus had failed, Jesus had gained the victory. John 12, verse 30 and 31 tells us this. Jesus answered and said, this voice has not come for my sake, but for your sake. Now the judgment is upon this world. Not the ruler of this world will be cast out. And if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. You see, when you go to Revelation 12, which we're not going to spend too much time, Revelation states that the devil was called the accuser of the brethren, among many names, the dragon, the serpent. But one of them, the title was the accuser of the brethren, because he was the one accused God before God day and night. And there was a deception that was in place, which ultimately Jesus says it was at the cross. It was revealed who the devil was as a murderer, liar, and everything else that God did not stand for. It was at the cross that the devil's lies and accusations were thrown down because of the cross, how Jesus gave his life. And it was ultimately at the cross where the devil's accusations were defeated, and the devil knew that his time had come to an end. It was only a matter of time. The scripture speaks that he was wroth because he knew that his time would soon come to an end, because Christ had gained the victory for all of us on the cross. So in remembrance not just of the death of Jesus, but also how he lived, Jesus tells his disciples, when he had given thanks and he broke it, he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying that this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Today, as we celebrate communion, it is to remember Jesus. Not just who he was, but his life and his death. That Jesus gave his life for you and me. And it's through communion that we remember that through the blood of Jesus, according to Matthew, we receive the forgiveness of sins, of our sins. And we remember that he was broken that we may be healed. And with that, we are to remember he was treated as we deserved so that we can be treated as he deserved.